the glories of Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda. I was reflecting on some of the words Srila Jayapathak Maharaj shared with us. One very significant impact was his statement that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life leaves no excuse for any one of us to completely surrender to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any type of an excuse a person can possibly offer to postpone surrendering, Bhaktivinoda Thakur overcame. Sometimes we have to say, I have children, I have to raise them, I have to put them through school, I have a wife or a husband, I have occupational duties, so there's only so much bhakti I can do. How many of you have 10 children? Please raise your hand. 9 children. 8 children. 7. 6. 5. Not a single one of you even have half the children of that. And yet he was going out every evening doing Namhat programs. 250 different Namhat groups he had to personally establish and was overseeing. And we have entire songbooks of his beautiful prayers and dozens of transcendental literatures. Extensive literatures like Jiva Dharma. And still, he was a government officer. And how did he raise his children? In such a way that they were pure unalloyed devotees. And while doing all of those things, he was developing Sri Mayapur Dham. So any time you want to make an excuse to postpone your devotional service, please meditate on the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his eternal lila, he is Kamala Manjari from Goloka Vrindavan. Sri Sri Radha Govinda personally arranged for him to live this type of life to show us by his example. Yad yad acharati sreshtas tathat evetarochana. What great people do, common people should follow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, truly an acharya. Most of human population are married. Even our yatra today, a vast majority of the congregation are grihastas or will become grihastas. We're talking about the students, not the brahmacharis. So how important is his example to all of us? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's compassion was none different from that of Srila Advaitacharya, who cried with loud calls for years. Sri Advaitacharya, for several years, spent most of his day on the banks of the Ganga, with tears flowing from his eyes in compassion for the souls who have forgotten Krishna. And he was screaming out prayers, begging Krishna to appear within this world to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Now, Navadweep was a very wealthy, opulent place. It wasn't that people were just starving on the streets and he was crying out to God to give some physical welfare for their diseases and their hunger and their clothing. Not at all. Navadweep was designed by Lord Brahma in such a way. People were so highly learned. They had much comfort, much opulence. But spiritually they were poverty-stricken, because they had forgotten the real purpose of life, to awaken our original love for Krishna. So Advaitacharya was weeping and crying out for the Lord to appear, because the people were so proud, so forgetful, that only Krishna could save them. And on the basis of Advaitacharya's prayers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared within Navadvipa Dham. Just 400 years later, this world was cast into vast darkness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw that even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya had been corrupted by the agents of Kali. Respectable, intelligent people did not even take serious the teachings and the culture of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because immoral rogues were exploiting innocent people. Hypocritically posing themselves to be the true followers of Lord Chaitanya. If people cannot have faith in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the hope of population in the age of Kali? So Thakur Bhaktivinoda prayed in that spirit of Advaitacharya, let a ray of Vishnu appear. Send one of your own personal associates to help in this great mission. In Jagannath Puri, his prayer was fulfilled when Bimala Prasad appeared within this world. Later, Bimala Prasad, who was to become Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, lived in this very house with Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And he imbibed within the very core of his heart the spirit of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission. Jaipathak Maharaj was explaining how daily Bhaktivinoda Thakur would speak from Srimad Bhagavatam here in his courtyard. And very, very sincere, intelligent people were coming to hear from him. One such person was Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is the very personification of vairagya, or renunciation. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was so renounced when he was living in Vrindavan. Sometimes for his meals, he would just eat the mud that he would take out from the Jamuna River. And here in Navadvipa, he would just eat the mud from the Ganga. So simple. The types of austerities he performed, anyone would die if they tried to imitate. And he had such a clairvoyant vision to expose hypocrisy. There are many stories. I believe some were told yesterday in Kuliagram. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji could not tolerate hypocrisy in the name of bhakti. He could see into people's hearts what was their motives, what was their inner secret life. And he would be very strong to expose them. He wanted to kick out everything and anything but pure unalloyed bhakti, because that is Srimad Bhagavatam. He would regularly come here to worship Bhaktivinod Thakur. Here is the crest jewel of all renunciates, Babaji, worshipping a grihastha with a wife and 10 children. And eagerly, enthusiastically, hearing him speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a wonderful example of how bhakti is beyond superficial external designations. Bhakti is the state of the heart. Thakur Bhaktivinod was pure in his motives. He loved Krishna. And whatever he did in a service of loving service to Krishna. Even creating 10 children. He did it as a loving offering of service to Krishna. Bhaktivinod Thakur had his children as an act of compassion for all humanity. It was not in any way connected to sense gratification. Bhaktivinod's whole life was to live for others. Even Jaipatak Maharaj explained, he accepted the Paramahamsa Babaji initiation at the very end of his life because the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you do this Nirjan Bhajan in Puridham, and through your bhajan, the holy name will spread throughout the world. Whatever he did was for the welfare of others. And his own son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He explained that his two gurus, his Shiksha Guru, Bhaktivinod Thakur, and his Diksha Guru, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and of course the great Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, another one of his great gurus that he worshipped. They were Paramahamsa Babajis. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he accepted the order of sannyas. And our beloved Srila Prabhupada explains why he accepted the sannyas ashram instead of Babaji ashram. Because there are 4 levels of sannyas. The highest is Paramhamsa. That is the Babaji Vaish. He considered that my father and my Gurudev, they were Paramhamsas. I should take a lower position. And he accepted this Tridandi Sannyas order, which is a lower position than the Paramhamsas, because he didn't feel himself fit to take the same order as his gurus. So sometimes people are proud becoming a sannyasi. But that completely defies the whole spirit of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati taking sannyas. He did it out of humility. He wanted to exclusively dedicate his entire life and soul to spreading Krishna consciousness to others. But he did it in a way that would be honoring the superiority of his predecessors. This is how Srila Prabhupada explained. So yes, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that ray of Vishnu who appeared in reciprocation to the heartfelt prayers of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. They lived together here in Godram Dweep, in this very house. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his life and soul. And thus he established Gaudiya Math. Spread the glories of the holy name throughout India. And what is most sacred in our hearts is his repeated orders to Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, to take this message of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in its purity, and bring it to the whole world through the English language. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision, his fearlessness, his absolute dedication, his compassion, his responsible life in every aspect is truly a light and an example for every devotee to contemplate and to try to follow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught the highest treasures of the spiritual world of Goloka. More than anyone else, he was the one who really established within the world how Navadvip and Vrindavan are absolutely non-different. Madhuryadham and Odaryadham. It was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dream that impelled Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our beloved Srila Prabhupada to spread the glories of Navadvip all over the world. So today, let us bow our heads in humble prayer, praying for the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we could genuinely offer our lives as the servant of the servant of his servants, that we genuinely strive to follow in his holy footprints, let us pray to Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Train? It's like a very noisy, oversized rickshaw. Let us pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we can truly be sincere devotees, and that he bestow upon us the jewel of pure unalloyed devotional service to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Would you like to sing one or two of his songs?
Yes.